Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho. Today is, and brought to you by the Sportscast. Today is March 24, 2022. The time is flying. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, to the Sportscast on YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, and iTunes. Don't forget, we have our own podcast. It's the little purple icon on your iPhone. Hit it, put Jersey Boy Sports Talk. You'll see me and Byron on there. Enjoy the show. You'll be able to hear some good talk. Really subscribe on YouTube because we show a lot of documents and Byron puts together a lot of graphs and so forth and depth charts. So you may want to be able to see the depth charts. So revert over to the Sportscast on YouTube and then look up Jersey Boys Sports Talk and be able to see those documents. Please subscribe on YouTube, hit the notifications. You'll know that we'll be live when we're live. And we are streaming live every Thursday, 8 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube. So we're getting ready. Some pretty interesting things happen this week. So let's see what we got to say about it today. So welcome, Mr. Byron. How are we doing today? How's it doing? How's Lancaster?
It's wonderful. It's 50 degrees and it's been raining for the last 2 days.
50? Oh, my.
5-0 after it was like 75 early in the week, but we dropped down to back to normal 50. So we're all good.
Yeah, my day was like my background. Just so we're clear.
Are you done throwing red pepper on the wound?
I just want you to know that my day was like my background. Thank God. The day was my experience of today was, and I kind of had a rough ending of the day. So at least the Sportscast gets me pumped up. So if the veins pop out of my head, Joe, that's good because I love talking sports. It's actually a positive thing for me.
So you actually want that today? Okay,
I'll keep that in mind. You want that, yes. All right. Because when I'm quiet, it's like I'm silent and violent. That's like you don't want me quiet.
Right? Oh, okay, so I'll make sure I pop a couple veins then.
Yeah. So if I'm quiet, that means I'm mad. I get uphold it. That means you're like, oh man, something's wrong because Vic should be yapping at the mouth already, and if he ain't saying something. Really upset.
I will see what I can do.
So when you and John worry about my health because I pop out of vein, it's good for me. It's the sports in me. It's the passion in me. It's the, you know, it's like my wife to this day, doesn't understand, like when I yell at a TV, doesn't understand it. Like, you know, I'm friends and I don't know about you guys, if you guys do that, but I'll yell at the TV or, oh my God, I can't believe they did that, whatever.
I don't
you
know.
No, I reserve my yelling for people, but I see one of my co-hosts and I.
Well, Matt, let me first welcome Mr. Joe Caparo, our co-host today. Welcome back to the show. And he is the co-host. He also has his own show. Joe, what's the name of your show?
It's the Sports Plus Show every Saturday, 11 o'clock on valleyfreeradio.org. Or if you're in Western Massachusetts, it's 103.3 FM.
Sports Plus Show, right?
That's it. And you can go to the sportsplusshow.com, check it out there.
I'm going to write that down afterwards, and that way I can say it so I don't have to keep asking you all the time. And then we'll get it at the end. Well, Joe, welcome to the show. Go ahead. What were you going to say about?
Where were we? Were we on hair? No, we were past hair.
Yeah, we're past hair.
Yeah. You guys don't want to get into a debate about hair with me.
Well, no. What I was just saying that one of my co-hosts, Matt, and I have the same relationship, and it's the healthiest relationship I have perhaps, and all we do is yell at each other because it's about this kind of stuff. And I can, like you, man, if I'm riled up about this kind of stuff, I feel better than if I'm getting riled up about Russia or any of the a million other infuriating things that are happening in the world. So always happy to yell about sports.
But the art of sport is debate. Is what I was always taught, right? I mean, the function of sport is debate. One will yell from the rooftops the greatness of their own team versus the greatness of someone else's team, regardless of right or wrong or something. And the only thing that I feel that makes me different, I believe all of us on the show, there's some that aren't, is that we do have some objectivity to the quality of the sport. right? You know, there's, from my perspective, you know, the Giants, Giants weren't always the best team in the NFL when they won their Super Bowls, but they won the Super Bowl when it came. Right. Right. Yeah. So as I will honestly say, well, someone else will say, oh, we're the best team. Dude, you weren't. We're the best team, you know. So I believe there's some objectivity there. But anyway, so let's get into Byron. You gave me a lot to start off with. So
yeah, that was a whole idea.
You gave me like a journal. So
I gave you two things.
Dude, I got a text for you that if I show it on screen. Oh.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just to give you a little background with these guys that they're the ones they've signed. That's all.
All right, so let's. Can you want me to pull it up, or you want to be able to go through it? What do you want me to do?
You
so
pull it up.
Let's talk about the Giants. You want me to pull the spreadsheet up, or that?
Yeah, pull a spreadsheet up. Pull a spreadsheet up.
That like biblical text he gave me.
That's for later.
Oh my. Okay, Joe. Just so for all our listeners out there, we're gonna show some. We got a reminder. We're on a podcast. We got to tell them that. We're going to go to screen, where is it? Screen one. Beautiful.
It worked. Oh, not really. Oh, there.
Okay, yes, it does. Hold on a second. Hey, can I call you back? I'm on the podcast. Hey, Byron, go to the sheet. Go give the sheet. Go.
Not this one. The other one.
Is this the one you want? Hey, I'm on my podcast.
No. Oh, nice. That's wishful thinking there on Thibodeau, man.
Yeah,
nice try, Byron. The Jets will take him at four, especially because they just signed that safety.
They're going to take him. I just did this today.
I mean, they'll take Thibodeau if he's there, I think. I mean,
is this good, Byron, this one?
The other one.
Okay, then that's what I'm asking.
Not that one. The other one. There you go.
Okay, but before the record, Joe.
Yeah.
You know how you said that you're not as, you know, I like preparation. So I have one for this for every week, and this is what Byron sends me.
Well, that, of course. Look at that.
Oh, wait, good God. Was this homework? What is this? Show.
I'm retired. I have nothing else better to do.
Joe. Okay, and I'm a prepared guy. How am I supposed to break this down in a day? And he sends it to me today, 3:27 p.m.
Are you kidding? Stop complaining, man. Come on, man.
Just read this thing. This is your whole show. This is an hour right here.
That's my point, man.
Oh, stop, man.
Nice work.
The depth chart?
Nice work, professor.
Hey, go to the depth chart, man. Jeez.
Well, I see that. At least I still copy it and we have it memorialized. But I'm like, man, is he kidding me?
Man, why do I feel like those receivers look better on paper than they're going to look on the field?
They look better on paper than they're going to be on the field.
Let's start with the line. Let's go.
Say again?
Let's start with the line because that's our biggest concern.
Well, you know, I've always cried about the line. I've been crying about the line for over a year now. It's a functional line right now, but they still need to draft some people. You got Matt Gano is a signing.
Tell me who you like, sir. I like
Mark Gawinski.
Let's start with the center. Let's go from the middle out. You always said from the middle out.
Okay, you work from the inside. All right, the center, he's serviceable, but think of somebody else. He's this another one? Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo guy. Philadelphia. Buffalo guy.
All right, good. Go. All right, let's go to the right.
He's coming back from injury. Shane Lemieux, so he's going to be the guy, unless they draft somebody.
All right, so is that a green or a yellow?
That's a yellow.
Okay, gonna.
That's definitely a yellow.
Okay, so that's just going to. By the way, I have them saved also from last week too.
I'm sure you don't.
Okay, let's go to the left side. Left.
He's definitely very good. He's good enough.
Mark?
Yes.
Okay, so for our listeners, we got guard John Feliciano, right guard, yellow, Shane Lemieux, right tackle, Mark Gano. Is that right?
Yes. He's a Jersey Gano. Guy, too. Jersey guy.
Mark Gano, we got him as a yellow. Left guard is Mark
Gawinski.
We have him as a green. And Andrew
Thomas is definitely a green.
Definitely agreeing. All right. So we got Daniel Thomas agreeing. All right. So we're getting there. We got three. We got some work to do, but hopefully we can develop them. All right. Let's go to then, you know, I still consider they're great, but let's go. What about tight ends?
Ricky Seals Jones, the guy they got from the Washington Redskins. He's serviceable unless they draft somebody else.
So that's a yellow.
That's a yellow.
Ricky Seals Jones, we got as a yellow. We have depth charts. If you go to YouTube, you ever see it. So, okay.
And the rest of those guys are just bodies for training camp.
Okay.
There goes Dan. You know Daniel Jones is agreeing, man. That's my guy.
Oh God.
I don't
see more of this. Jesus.
I don't see him on here.
I can't wait till week seven when he has 19 interceptions and Byron has to back off on that.
Who do we have to back up?
Bria, they just signed him. He played for San Francisco. I think it was Buffalo, too. He's very good back. Bria.
Yeah.
This guy here?
Very good.
Matt?
Breda?
Yeah, Breda.
He was with San Francisco for a little bit.
And how's Antonio Williams?
He's a signee from somewhere.
You okay?
He's serviceable. Garrett Bright is that guy. He was a rookie last year and mainly a special teams guy.
All right, well, if he's a rookie, you never know, right?
Well, he's a rookie last year. This is the second year.
I just like having enough to back up. Saquon just, you know.
You're not going to get my guy Daniel Jones green? Come on, man. Can he get a green?
I don't even see him on the list. Is he?
Yeah, he's right there, quarterback. Come on, man. You see him. Come on.
In the center.
Keep going.
All right, let's go. Wide receiver.
This is a mess.
Daniel Jones. I got Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. Let's see
what. There you go.
All right.
Let's see.
No reason to put him green.
Why not? I keep telling you he's going to be a star.
Okay, but I got him. He's going to. We know he's the starter.
I say starter. I said star.
We have it written. We know that.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm glad you're on the show a little bit more than you've been in the past. Because now you're actually hearing Byron saying words that he said something different last time.
What did I say different last time?
No. The last two times you said it were the first time Joe said no. You weren't as definitive as a star.
I said Daniel Jones is going to be a star.
I let Joe answer. Joe, didn't he at first come off this way? You understood him to say this, and then you wait a second, Byron. You're saying he is a star. And Byron said yes. Is that a fair statement?
I think in us asking him to back up his claim, I think he's doubled and tripled down on it. Yep. Certainly. Yes. And I love it, man. Let's get him by this time, by the time next season starts, we want him to swear that this guy's going to the Pro Bowl and he's gonna throw 70 touchdowns. We'll just keep goosing him.
He's gonna throw 30 and 15.
Time out. By being a Giant fan, I do want Daniel Jones to do well. But I just don't believe in what Byron's saying until he does it. So I'm not wishing any ill wills. I hope he throws 70. I hope I'm eating crow.
35 and 15.
The Byron, because I'm a Giant fan. I just don't believe it.
You're not a Giant fan. You gotta believe.
Well, and there's really nothing not to like about the guy, right? Like he seems to be a likable human being. He's not getting himself in trouble. He seems to be.
You and I always debate words, right? So for me, when I say it's not about the guy, it's about the play of the player. It's not personal.
Oh,
it's not,
absolutely. I
made my comment about Carson Wentz that, you know, I felt bad saying he's a loser. I don't say the guy's a loser. I don't think personally he's a loser. I don't think anything. I just think that the guy's got all this talent. And then for some reason, you know, like some guys are winners, right? It's because he's won the games. He just doesn't seem to have what it takes to push a team any further, and he's got so much talent. So I'm just saying to you,
what did the owner of the New York Giants say about him? They have done everything wrong to screw up this kid. That came from the owner's mouth. He said that they've mistreated him,
including putting a cricket on the field to tackle him when he was wide open running.
You got to bring up the negative, man. Be positive.
I'm just saying. Okay, Galladay. Okay,
that's good. Overpraised.
I like Slayton.
Colin Johnson.
Where's my boy?
You going down? There you go.
Kadarius so far.
I put him over there. This is an order. It's not an order. It's just over there.
Okay. So I think Galladay is good.
And John Ross too.
John Ross.
I think Galladay is good. Kadarius Toney is good.
And don't sleep on Ricky Prohl's son, Austin.
Yeah, you know I like some Ricky Prohl right there. Who did you say? You said somebody, Joe, that I was looking for.
Shepard. Oh, John Ross, too.
Where? I can't see John.
Put your glasses on.
12 and 14.
There you go. Yeah. Right there. And then Sterling Sharp is still there.
Joe is right. This receiver crew looks really good on paper. But we know Darius Slayton's no slack either.
Yeah.
I mean, this is some serious. Okay, you mentioned somebody else. Did you mention someone else, or that was it?
Well, the thing is, though, now you need five receivers. It used to be if you had three good ones, that was a solid crew. Now you need, four or five,
and a tight end.
Yeah, or two,
or three,
or three. Exactly. That's a lot of receivers. I'm assuming this is someone's going to get cut, right, Byron? This is
of course. Cool. Yeah, that's for now.
Well, this is what we have on the team before cuts.
A lot of before the draft. So.
I mean, CJ Beard too. He's a he's a veteran. I could see him making that team, which would give him seven. That's probably too many though. Yeah, I think six.
They usually go six at the most, probably most of them.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that we picked are pretty good. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad receiver, and I'm happy that Ingram's not there. So. For our listeners, we got wide receivers. Not in this particular order, but we got we picked our top six that we feel the Giants are going to more than likely stay with. We got Kenny Galladay, unless they trade, unless something happens with the draft.
Or draft somebody.
Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, John Ross, and Austin Prohl, which is what's his name? First name?
Ricky Prohl.
Ricky Prohl, which is also an all-star NFL player, his father. So awesome. We ain't worried about kickers.
Nah.
All right. So you want to do defense? Or are we going here? We're good.
There we go. Defense. We got Big Dexter. He's probably in a contract year. So, of course, they always show out on a contract year. Dexter Lawrence.
What about who's
left? Left defensive end. He's backup over there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right. So let's
there you go.
You know, I like starting from the middle.
The middle guy, they just signed him for Baltimore. Big 6 foot, 6'2", 350 pound, a real nose tackle.
Yellow, green.
Huh?
That's a good nose tackle.
Yeah, 350.
All right.
Leonard Williams, overpaid.
He's green. There's no confusion.
Yeah, he's green. Dexter's green.
Okay, so we got Dexter Lawrence, left defensive end, nose tackle, Justin Ellis. Right defensive end, Leonard Williams. And we got some backups over there. Okay. What about the backups? How are the backups? How's Dexter?
Nico's Lavos, or whatever. What's the basketball player? That's his buddy. LeBron James. That's his buddy right there.
Oh, really?
Yes. How's
that help his pass rush?
It doesn't.
What about Raymond Johnson III?
Because he played last year. He's pretty. He wasn't the bad. He's yellow. He's good
for rotation, right?
Yeah. Good rotation guy.
Linemen need to be rotated, right? So you
don't play the whole. And David Moa too. Same thing.
Not like offensive linemen, huh?
No.
David Moa, how's David Moa?
Practice squad guy. He should be okay.
To be okay. Okay, so we got some people there. All right, great. Inside, let's go right inside linebacker.
Blake Martinez, if
he's good. He was hurt.
He hurt his knee, so he should be okay. Next year, TJ Brunson's going to be all right.
Well, Aziz is good, isn't he?
Yes, he's the sack guy. That's going to be the sack guy. Georgia, former Georgia Bulldog. You should know that.
This is his second year, isn't it?
Second year.
Okay, good. Tay Crowder's good, no?
He was Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft a couple years ago. And he's played well, but they could improve that spot.
All right, what else you see behind there?
Bernardrick McKinney, he was a Miami guy. He used to play at Miami.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yellow. Then you got Jalen Smith that used to be with Dallas Cowboys on the other side.
Joe, any thoughts on these?
I think Byron's being way too generous with his greens here, is what I think. I think some of these guys.
Which one would you debate?
I think some of these guys are borderline starters. You know, Dexter Lawrence, man, he's as likely on his way down as he is on his way up. These linebacking crew is pretty weak too. I mean, I like Martinez.
Martinez is good.
Yeah, I like Martinez, but other than that, man, this is a team that still needs improvement. You know, in seven spots on defense.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, I know the team's terrible.
Weak side linebacker.
Quincy Roche. That's the guy he picked up in Pittsburgh. He played very well last year. He's a green.
By the way, when we say color, it's green or yellow for those listening. So no one confuses why I'm saying color.
They just picked up, was it Jahan Ward? I think he came from Baltimore. He's used to the playing with Wink Martindale. He's a yellow.
All right. So we got some backup. All right. Well, the biggest problem I think we had was in secondary.
A lot of these guys won't be. The only one is definitely probably going to be there is Adoree Jackson, Darnell Holmes, Jared Williams, Aaron Robinson.
What about Bradbury?
They're thinking about trading him like soon.
I thought I heard his name be traded.
Yeah, he's all over. But nobody's offering fourth round pick, fifth round pick. So they're really not offering anything for him.
All right, well let's move on to our next segment on this one because I'll say this, okay? But continue anyways, so we could have it. But really, you know, I think our number one focus I like to, and maybe we'll just split it. Like 1 week we'll do offense, 1 week we'll do defense. But I think we're just number one is our offense. We need something to happen offense, right?
Yeah, somebody to block.
Yeah, so we need to fill those gaps there. Okay, so let's go. Let's get out of there, and then let's talk about. Okay, so any news?
You know what we need to talk about since you're sitting in that city. Come on.
I was going to get there, but I wanted to see.
Might as well just go ahead and get there because woo-wee.
Wait a second. Hold on a second, man.
Might as well bring it up. Go ahead.
You don't want to talk about let's happen first in the league.
Nope. Let's go straight to Miami.
All right, Tyree. All right, we're gonna skip the. Okay, we're skipping Washington. We're skipping Philly. We're skipping Dallas, and we're going right to Tyreek Hill.
Who cares about those other teams?
So we're going right to Tyreek Hill.
Straight to Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Holy smokes.
What do you think about that, Joe?
I don't even know how to start because I saw it. They gave up a lot.
Yeah, that's my first thought is that they gave up a lot. I mean, he's an incredibly talented guy, but how much of a difference does one receiver make, especially when you don't have a quarterback who can throw him the damn ball? That's the biggest problem that Miami has. And overpaying for a top wide receiver. I mean, and there's other reasons not to like Tyreek Hill, and I don't. I mean, the guy has a terrible history of violence against women. And if anything, for me personally, this at least lets me root for the Chiefs because everything else about the Chiefs is kind of fun to root for. But he was always there, kind of the bad apple spoiling the rest of the bunch. So with him out of there, it makes Kansas City a more attractive team to root for. Miami's a mess, man. I don't know what's going on there, but they have not had a very very peaceful offseason, let's just say that.
Let me ask you a question. Byron, I mean, do you think – was it purely money? Was it Chiefs wanted him out? Was it – I mean, you know, and it's not easy. Look, whatever you say about him, talk about the player, right? Okay. It's hard to replace a Tyreek Hill. Right. So what do you think? Just purely money, Byron? You think there's other pieces? What do you think?
You haven't really heard anything, crazy, like whatever he was doing in Kansas City. I think mainly money. But I also think if you have one of the top five receivers, this is my thinking, Andy Reid being Andy Reid. you know what? I can replace, get a whole bunch of picks, and I can replace this guy with, somebody else that, we think, can replace him. I think it's one of those things. And then, now they made him the highest paid, player, but you got Patrick Mahomes, what, $500 million? And you got to have a receiver with 170 or whatever he got, 170. That's a lot of money for two spots.
When they brought in the two hyphenated guys, they brought in Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling. And those two guys together can reproduce his output. They've still got Hardman. They still got Josh Gordon.
Let's talk about that. Okay. There's a difference though, right? I was just looking up to see what they gave up here. They gave up five draft picks.
Yeah.
First round.
Including two in the top 50 this year.
Look at first round, number 29, second round 50 plus fourth. Plus a fourth pick, and a sixth pick in 2023. Oof. That's a lot of picks, man. But anyways, look, there's a difference though, Joe, for me, when you say output. Output to me is pure numbers. And yes, you can go paper to paper output. Can I get in a receiver that can produce the yards? Can I produce this and that? Possibly, yes. The challenge, though, was defending. That guy stretched the field for Kelce, right? He was a danger. It wasn't until the Bucs figured out a defense that everyone saw, you got to keep two guys deep at all times. Don't let him get behind you. He will eat you up, particularly if Patrick gets in trouble with that speed. That's really hard to replace.
But is it his receiving ability that creates that, or is it just the blinding speed? Because I think you can replace the blinding speed in another player, may not be as good of a receiver as he is, but if you've got other guys that can catch the ball, I feel like you can it's easier to stretch the field than it is to pay, like Byron said, to pay a competitive roster. And that probably has as much to do with it as anything. They saw a big payday coming up that they weren't going to be able to afford to make. So they split his money between these two guys. So
once again, I'm dissecting your response because I don't understand how I'm talking about one thing and then you want to buddy over Byron and bring it. My topic had nothing to do. Zero to do with the money right now.
What it have to do with that?
Well, everything has to do with the money.
Everything.
We're discussing everything. Output. Wait a second, though. We were discussing the topic of replacing a receiver's production or output. And I'm just saying that, yes, but a guy like him who was a great receiver, because he made some great catches, had supersonic speed, right? And Patrick Mahomes had ultimate faith in him that when he was in trouble, I'm just going to throw that ball as far as I can because Tyreek is still running downfield. That's the only thing is my argument.
Well, you're right. I'll put it into
the money part. I'm okay. Yes, I agree with everything you said on the money. But my only thing was trying to replace that money part. Now they got me on the money. Trying to replace that skill in a particular receiver isn't that easy.
Well, and you're right. Output and impact are two different things, right? Like that scary thing that he can do on the field is different from his, eight catches for 134 yards. I still feel like they're both replaceable. I'm sour on Tyreek Hill for I can't separate personal things from the player like you can. I'm not quite as good a compartmentalizer as you are, Vic. But that honestly, it's really. It soured him for me as a player, as talented as he is. And I think to bring a player with questionable, whatever you want to call it, I don't like to use the word morals, but questionable background into a team that's already kind of in turmoil.
Has questionable background.
Yeah, that's true.
And Byron, yeah.
Okay, now think about this. Okay, how many of those explosive plays that Patrick Mahomes had that were either designed or they ad-lib? A lot of the stuff that they scored on was kind of ad-lib. Is he going to be able to do the same thing with Tua?
Okay, the answer to answer that question, I'm going to do it in two parts. One, no, he's not going to be able to do it with Tua. Okay, so super simple. Two, the part that you just said that they were ad-libbed was what made the differences in his impact on Kansas City.
Yeah, but what happened in the Super Bowl when people figured out, you know what? We know they're going to do X, Y, Z. We're going to take two guys and put them 50 yards downfield and dare you to throw it that far. What happened then?
No, you did. That's what, but I premised it before until the Bucs and everyone figured out I'm not going to let anyone, this guy beat us. We have to put two players deep. So yeah. One player occupied two defenders.
They basically were told, don't let anybody get behind you. That's what they were told. Back up.
Yeah. And anybody was Tyreek Hill. That's it. There was nobody else. It was
Tyreek Hill.
My point being is, so you just added to my debate with Joe was the impact that ad-libbing is a major difference in the output of somebody else, because Patrick Mahomes ad-libbing, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Okay. His ability was because Tyreek Hill knew, because Patrick Mahomes got a strong arm. He's a big guy. And most receivers, when a quarterback is in trouble, they're going to break their pattern, right? And they're going to, either you're taught normally, now things have changed, obviously, when you're taught as a receiver to come back to the ball, right? All right, or come back to the ball one or two, run parallel to the quarterback. Right,
yeah.
Okay. Tyreek Hill never did that. Patrick Mahomes didn't want him to do that. Neither did Andy Reid the enemy, I guess, right? He just kept running downfield.
Well, they don't have to because Mahomes can throw the ball 85 yards. I mean,
that goes back to the impact of Tyreek Hill. But anyhow, we're going on.
Well, is it Tyreek Hill or is it Patrick Mahomes that's freeing up Tyreek Hill to be able to do that? Because not every quarterback can throw those balls either. It's interesting because they both enhance the other's ability in those moments.
I would agree. But you need a guy of that same, in other words, you need the same makeup of type of guy to replace him with another guy, right? So,
and they were a great fit together. I'll give you that.
That's all I'm saying there, number one. And number two, it's no different than what, Cool Joe from Cincinnati, Burroughs, right?
Yeah.
He say, when I'm in trouble, boom, I'm just throwing the ball as hard as I can. We're in Jamar Chase's direction. Pretty much is what he said.
Okay, but now let's fast forward. Can Tua do the same thing?
No, Tua cannot do that.
So pretty much it was a waste. Then
Tua's not that big, right? Tua's not 6'5".
It ain't got nothing to do with big. I'm just talking about being able to get the ball 50, 60 yards down the field the way this guy's used to.
It's not a waste.
Tua can throw, but I don't think Tua has the mobility and the health. And the, when I say health, meaning his ability to stay, healthy to play. And I don't think Tua is big enough. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I just think if you notice, the guys that can ad lib are either runners, which, you know, Mahomes is a pretty good runner. Two, it's also he's 6'5". So when you're running and you're 6'5".
6'3", man. 6'3", man. Ain't that tall. 6'3".
Mahomes?
6'3". Don't give him any more inches. 6'3".
What's Tua? 6'6".
Oh, 6 foot. About 6 foot. I thought he was 6'6". Nah, ain't that big.
The height makes a little bit of difference, right? Looking downfield, right? Because you're able to look, you're running away from big guys. You better be able to see them build. So anyhow, that's just, I think that that was a bad move. It's a typical Dolphin move. It's going to be exciting for the Dolphin fans because this guy can play. I think the Chiefs got the better end of that game.
Oh, yeah. 5 picks. Well, it's funny. Byron said you think it's a waste getting this guy if they don't have a quarterback. It's not a waste when they give up on Tua after this season. I think next year when they draft a new quarterback, it becomes a better investment. But we'll see.
Or them signing Joe Jimmy G.
Or Tommy B? No, he's coming back. He's staying in Tampa. Or maybe they'll get Danny J when the Giants give up on him.
Danny Dimes ain't going anywhere.
And don't forget, though, the Dolphins got Jalen Waddle, who's a good receiver, pretty good, too.
Cedric, they have a good receiver. They got a good tight end.
They got some decent receiving crew. So, you know, don't count them out.
They'd be better off with a jugs machine throwing the ball to them.
Well, you got a quarterback to, you know, that throws 5 yard outs all day. Yeah, up 5 yards, roll out up 5 yards, 5 yards. Come on, he's gonna nickel him to death.
Yeah, at least he's got those down.
Yeah, he does have those down.
So, so is it true that Davante Adams got pulled over for DUI? I've been seeing Twitter things, but I can't verify that. Does anyone know about that?
Oh, I didn't hear that. No, but there's lots of trouble to get into in Vegas now.
Yeah, boy.
Ooh, there's more trouble. Tua's 6'1".
Oh, wow. He's like, tremendous.
And what is, and you know what I mean, 6 foot. What was it? What's the other problem in the Raider land?
You're in Vegas.
Have you been to Vegas, Vic?
Yeah. And Mahomes is 6'3".
Yeah, like I said, not 6'5".
Burrow 6'4".
Yeah, I don't know if this is legit. It looks like I can't find a reputable report on this.
That's the problem. I saw it on Twitter, but it's like sometimes those Adam Schefter Twitters. Sometimes I come on a show, I say something, and then it doesn't seem to be true. So I'm like,
it's fake Twitter. It's not even a real tweet. It's just like a graphic that somebody made to look like a tweet. Yeah. I think this is bunk, at least for now.
Okay. Yeah, don't get sued.
I'm glad to hear that, man. Because I hate to see that happen for a receiver get that money and then all of a sudden have a problem. What's happening there? So what's happening? Well, you say Vegas. You just mentioned because it's Vegas. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, these guys are professionals. I think the days of pro athletes screwing up their careers by doing something stupid in a nightclub are probably long over. Like, these guys make too much money to jeopardize their livelihoods.
Or you're betting on games still. You can't do that.
But there's some other Byron, you sent me a bunch of stuff. So we got Tyreek Hill. That was a shocker to me. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do there, but you're right. It's going to help their, it's definitely going to help their cap space. Right. And it's going to help a lot of pieces there. So we'll see what happens. I still think the Broncos are still, sorry, John, they're going to be number 3 in that division.
Well, here's the thing, Vic, if you're in that offense, right? Do you want to have one A-plus receiver, one A-minus receiver, and 3 B receivers? Or do you want to have, you know, 3 A receivers? And I don't know what the grades are. You understand what I mean. If you want to, like, I think replacing that one position with 2 Valdes-Scantling and Smith-Schuster, I think you improve your team. Even though you're the most talented player is leaving your roster, I feel like you're improving your lineup with that swap.
Yeah, but now you're going to be able to double, you know, cover Kelsey. But, you know, who else do they have is going to, you know, that you can't Kelsey's, cover.
You double Kelsey, one of these two guys is going to be open.
And are they going to be the same dynamic guy like Mr.
So maybe they're not quite as double teamable as Tyreek Hill.
Double teamable.
Like that one, huh?
Is that a word?
It is now. but I think they're both going to require enough extra attention to make it a problem. I mean, that's a really tough threesome to guard. And again, I'm not trying to be blue with my choice of language.
Hey, Joe, well, we missed you, I think, the other week because Byron was giving credit to the Jets drafting. So you want to talk a little bit about
the free agents.
Their moves, yeah. I mean, you know, they got this guy, Laken Tomlinson. They got a legit starting tackle. Braxton Berrios coming back. They got a backup safety, Jordan Whitehead. Joe Flacco. I can't get excited about Joe Flacco, but they signed Flacco and Mike White, so they've got at least some backup plans at quarterback. I don't want to get too optimistic, and I said on my show that I will I'll be happy when they get to win 12. That's when I'll be finally able to breathe a sigh and say, okay, this maybe they're getting better. But everything seems to, all the decisions they've made indicate a team that is doing the right thing and moving in the right direction. That's the most hopeful thing I can say as a Jet fan. Like, I'm literally, my mouth will not form different words because of 40 years of heartache. So that's where I'm sitting right about now.
And with this upcoming draft, what do you think?
It's a tough conference between, you know, you still got Buffalo playing well. You got Belichick that's going to reload.
Yeah, the Patriots aren't going to be bad for long.
You know, they're going to reload. Buffalo's going to be there. I don't know. I don't think the Patriots are going to be as dominant as they were. But, you know, as long as, what?
They're reloading.
They're reloading. Yeah. But how many more years does Belichick have? 71?
Three.
Let me think about it.
Three
at the most. Exactly. So, you know, if the Jets are loading up now, they got a shot, right, of making some moves there. So there's things going on there. So, you know, that's that conference. Let's go through the conferences, right?
Who are the big cheeses right now in the AFC East? It's Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear.
Buffalo and the Patriots.
Well, but it's Buffalo. And for the first time in a really long time, I think Buffalo's got themselves a half a step ahead, but I just want Thibodeau in the draft. That's all I want. And the second pick, that 10th pick, they pick up an offensive lineman, a starting quality offensive lineman or a receiver. I'm happy. I just want Thibodeau, and my entire draft day is going to ride on that, where he goes. Cause he is, man. I am not exaggerating when I think that he is, when I say that he is Lawrence Taylor 2. Yeah, you heard it.
Ooh, man, that's wow.
Okay. Hold on, let me write this down on my sheet.
I earned myself a spot next to Byron's Jones proclamation.
It's going right next to Byron Jones.
Well, at least I get a few more years to get mine judged.
Okay. So first of all, I got, who's the one who said that Detroit was going to win the division? I forgot. I wrote that down too, right? Okay. What did you say, Thibodeau?
Kayvon Thibodeau, next Lawrence Taylor.
Wow.
Except for the cocaine and the underage prostitutes.
He's on the Jets.
And getting stopped at a Garden State Parkway too.
I would love for him to last that long. I think Detroit might take him at 2. I think Houston might take him at 3. I think Hutchinson goes first.
Oh, this guy's in the draft. Thibodeau's in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to get past the Jets. If he's there when they pick, they'll take him.
He would look good in a giant blue, though.
He would. I'll tell you what, if they're stupid enough.
That he's got a chance of being an LT, but I'll tell the Jets now.
If they're stupid, right. If the Jets are stupid enough not to take him and he's there at 5, the Giants will take him, definitely.
As we're winding down, we got AFC North, and unless you got some other breaking news, AFC North. How do you think Deshaun Watson is going to do with Cleveland?
I mean, he could end up being suspended by the league.
Oh, he's getting suspended. That's definite.
Yeah, because didn't Ben Roethlisberger get suspended also just on accusations?
Yeah, although you can come on my show if you want to talk about the Roethlisberger stuff, because that stuff was pretty credible, and I'm still surprised he didn't suffer more for it. But
all right.
You want to talk about the football side of it.
So what do you got in the AFC North? You got Bengals, Steelers, Cleveland, Ravens. What do you got, Byron?
Bengals.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati probably win the division. I think Baltimore will be right up there. I mean, I think they're a 12-win team probably next year.
All right. You got Tennessee, AFC South. Tennessee, Indianapolis, Houston, Jacksonville. I'm going to go back. I'm going to stick with Tennessee.
I'm going with the Colts because of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I could see Tennessee slipping back a couple of games easily. But I mean, that division's half garbage.
Yeah, so it's either one of those two teams, right? AFC West, John's division. You got the Kansas City. Vegas is loading up. That's a tough division, the AFC West, right now.
That's easy, man. Come on. The Chargers.
I mean, you could make it.
Wasn't the AFC West tough last year too? No,
was yeah, I mean, you could make. You could probably make a point, a case for any of those four teams, except for Seattle, who's going to be reeling. I think it all depends on how well
Seattle.
I feel like it's all going to depend on how well Wilson integrates into Denver, because that could be a championship team, or that could be a mess. You know, that's a lot of reworking to do. I don't know what that offense is going to look like, and that's a tough division. So, you got
Byron. What do you got?
Well, I got, you know, my guy is out there, Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well for that division. I like to see Justin. I hate the coach. I think he should be fired. You guys know how I feel about that. AFC.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, the NFC East. I'm picking Giants. I'm saying it before Byron. Oh, God. Byron.
Daniel Jones is going to be a star. I'm going with the New York Football Giants.
Joe.
Just because I feel like I haven't done enough to pop that vein out in your forehead, I'm going to go with Dallas. There's nothing behind it. Just trying to make you mad.
That one, nah, that won't make me mad. What makes me mad if there's no? What makes me mad if you pick the team that has no logic behind it?
Well,
I get excited two things that get me excited with you guys when I'm on the show, right? When some of our guests are on the show, is when they commingle points I'm talking about, right? Like when we're commingling the difference between impact and production and then salary, when I'm only talking about one of those things, right? That's where I draw the line, right?
Or let me apologize on behalf of all of us for not following along inside your head with you, because
no, it's not a matter of that. It's not a matter that I'm right or wrong. It's just a matter of pops my vein is when you're arguing two different distinct points, right? Like the distinct point in the Tyreek Hill was the difference between impact, right, and the salary. It had nothing to do with each other.
See, I'm gonna do it again to you right now. But
let's say he didn't get the big deal anyways. It would have been now. There's no reason to talk about money.
Well, this is going to make you mad because I'm going to do the same thing on kind of a bigger scale. But that's the point of discussion, is that for you, it's all about this. But for me, there's something over here, too. And I think this is part of it as well. And I think
that has nothing to do with the player's ability to impact the game. His money has nothing to do.
It has to do with how the team weighs his ability to impact a game. Because they have to factor in other things. So the fact that he impacts the game X number of dollars worth, you know, once he gets to X plus $1, then it's a different decision they have to make regarding that player. So that's why money is always going to be a factor, even when you're talking about
on production. This is not on production. But
it is, because with a salary cap, you have to evaluate how much each. Now you're making my vein pop out, but you have to evaluate how much each player's production is worth in dollars. It sucks, man. It sucks, because when we were kids, we didn't have to worry about this stuff. But now it's as much a part of the game as yardage and touchdowns. It really is, as much as you don't want it.
No, but every business should be run like an NFL team. I mean, you should start first. What's your net profit and work way backwards? Here's your salary.
You should not be run like an NFL team, because then they wouldn't hire any minorities.
That was good, Byron. That was good.
I'd be the only guy working out of the three of us.
NFC.
There you go.
Hey, bro, I can get away on either side, man. So I'm good.
Yeah, I can.
Byron, you can't hide.
No.
You're too tall.
So, yeah, do something else, too.
NFC North. That should be easy.
What, Minnesota?
You got the Packers, Minnesota, the Bears, and the Detroit Lions.
Minnesota Vikings.
That's funny.
No faith in the Bears. Well, man, the Packers got nobody to throw to. Who is Rodgers going to throw to himself?
And that's what he wanted when he took all that extra money.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, man. I have my dislike for him has really skyrocketed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to pick the Packers. I just think that he's until they're beaten. I mean, you know, it's hard to go against a guy who they've criticized as much as I don't like him. Again, Joe, I separate the two. As much as I don't like him. I mean, 2 years in a row, the year started, there was always an issue, something would happen, and he goes back-to-back MVP player of the year. I mean, he's hard to go against.
He's hard to go against, but I think he has no weapons left. So this could be the year that the baton gets passed, and I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit here. I really like Justin Fields. I don't know. I feel like that team's finally – again, not getting worse. I don't know. Maybe they've bottomed out. So it might take him another 2 or 3 years, but the Bears may be back soon.
My experience with the Bears is they always seem to be the Bears. They do something that messes things up, right? All right, NFC South. You know I'm going with the Bucks.
Figures.
The Bucks, New Orleans, Atlanta, and Carolina.
Yeah, it's another garbage division.
That's an awful division, man.
It is. That's right. Who I know Byron's going with. So
what am I going with? Let me hear
Saints.
It.
Saints.
Of course. I always got to go opposite. Because Jameis is back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to preserve a little bit of my credibility here. The Bucks are going to win 13 games and win that division by five. That's, you know.
Yeah. All right. And then NFC West. Other than the Seahawks. Yeah, you know, it's looking like a pretty decent division. You got the Rams, you know, the reigning champs in the Rams. You got the Arizona Cardinals. You got San Francisco. And then you got Seattle. Seattle, to me, is going to be on the bottom. So,
San Francisco.
Really?
The Rams are out in L.A. You know, they're going to have those swole heads because they got their ring. And, you know, somebody going to sneak up on them. It's going to be the 49ers.
Well, yeah, I mean the Rams already lost their best defensive player. They put that team together for 1 year. So
who left?
They lost. Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Somewhere up north.
Where did Miller go, Byron?
Did he go to Denver? No, he went to Denver. Where did he go?
He left Denver.
He went to Buffalo. He went to Buffalo.
Buffalo. There you go.
That's right. You guys. Yeah. Did you guys call him something last week?
San Francisco. I like, I think the Cardinals too. I mean, Kyler Murray's the big X factor there, right? Like if he has another unbelievable year there, they're probably the strongest team in that division, but the Niners are, it's a well-run team too, with a pretty solid defense. So
did they move Garoppolo yet?
He's still hanging around.
Yeah.
That's the same. I'm going to pick. I think the Rams are going to repeat because of Odell Beckham.
What?
And
I can't hear you. What did you say? He won't even be playing until like November.
Odell Beckham. Anyways, but man, let me ask you a question. What do you think is going through? I mean, obviously, you know, I don't care how much you make. You're an athlete. You know, you got feelings and stuff, and you got to feel something. I feel bad for that guy. And the sad part is, I shouldn't. I mean, the guy makes a lot of money. He's Garoppolo. Garoppolo makes a lot of money. He's a good-looking guy. He is on a killer city and a team in a killer state. He's been to the playoffs. He's been to the Super Bowl. Yet he's still just always on the waiver for that team. Like, what do you think is going through his mind, Byron? I mean, you were a pro athlete. Imagine a
quarterback. He probably doesn't care. As long as he's getting his check, you know, every week, it probably really doesn't matter. You know, he knows, you know, he's got two rings, you know, even though he did it, you know, as a backup. You know, he's got his. So it wouldn't bother me at all. He's like, you know, it is what it is. It's a business.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Am I supposed to feel sorry for him because he's so good looking? Like,
Oh my God! Out of all the words I said, that's the only thing. I didn't say feel sorry for him. I'm saying for him. My point was, I shouldn't feel bad for him. He's got everything possible going for the guy, right? But you know, being a quarterback, it's a mental game. Number one, I can't imagine any professional athlete, other than if you're comfortable with being a backup quarterback making all that money. Outside of that, I can't imagine anybody on the depth chart of an NFL team, like, they're happy with being in that position. They want to play.
Right. They're all hyper competitive. And I think.
Right. And a quarterback, the most is it's, and the quarterback mentally has to be there. So he's got to be he's pretty strong mentally to go through what he's been going through for the last several years.
Well, right. And they also get all of the blame when anything goes wrong. I mean, they get a disproportionate amount of the credit too.
He definitely gets it. He doesn't get a lot of the credit either.
And he's, you know, like, I think he's more talented than Carson Wentz, but I sort of slot him in that same, he's a good quarterback. He can perform on the field pretty well, but it's not a guy that's going to win you a Super Bowl. I'm Daniel Jones. Put him in that same family where he's maybe slightly above average, kind of can perform well, can be coached well, but is not going to lift your team to anything. So I think Garoppolo.
Other than getting to the Super Bowl.
You're going to tell me that Jimmy Garoppolo got that team to the Super Bowl, or that he rode.
He was a quarterback that got him to the Super Bowl.
He rode that defense.
He was a quarterback who played in the Super Bowl.
Didn't Joe Flacco win a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Trent Dilfer. There's a lot of average quarterbacks that won Super Bowls.
I can give Brad Johnson
a Super Bowl. But they won in superior situations, which is what Garoppolo was in last year.
I understand. I'm just saying to you, though, you know, you can't win unless you're in it. And he's got you there. He's got you the NFC championships. I mean, shoot, the guy's done his piece. Like, it's all you could ask for him, right? It's not like, you know, our Giants on a level of death. It wasn't like we had these crazy superstar Justin Herbert quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes quarterbacks.
Phil Simms.
Well, and if you're
okay, I mean, I love Phil Simms, but I mean, we won with Hostetler.
Yeah, and if you're asking me to rank him,
right now, Phil Simms. I mean, come on, it wasn't like you. Phil Simms got hurt. We won the following year. Won with Hostetler.
If you're asking me to put him in order, it's definitely Garoppolo 1, Jones 2, Carson Wentz 3. But again,
my question was, what do you think's going through this guy's mind? Byron says it's not bothering him, it's a this and that. I would think that it's just got to be. I can't imagine you just set out all the noise.
Hey. I think we're starting to hear this from a lot more athletes too, right? Like, it used to be that was something that they went home and yelled at their wife and kicked their dog, and we never heard of it. But now I think athletes are responding. Like, we hear a lot about tennis players with mental health issues. In the NBA too, a lot of NBA players have come out and talked about their mental health issues. We're starting to hear about in the NFL a little more too. So I think that's part of it, right? Like, part of that hearing negative stuff about yourself every day. I mean, I write stupid articles for the internet, and I get people sending me the most awful stuff, you know. So, like, to have your name out in public, you get people saying nasty things to you. That's just the way it is in 2022. I think how much it's affecting him, I hope it's not affecting him too much as a human being. I hope he's got people in his life that can help him filter this stuff out, but we'll see, man. We'll see what he's capable of. I would like for him to do well. Cause again, Vic, I root for the man as much as I root for the athlete, you know, for the performer on the field. And he seems like a guy who takes everything in stride, a pretty good humored, intelligent dude. So I root for him in that respect. So
then to separate your argument once more time is I when I'm rooting, I am rooting for the man in totality. I am not, if there's issues, you know, that are not, you know, things personal issues with, you know, with women and those kind of things, you know, then I don't root. So I'm on that same page where I separate the two if I'm just talking about the player and his play, right? Because you could say that in work, you know, you got, so, but anyway, I don't want to go there. I think Garoppolo's mentally strong because he's been dealing with that for how many years and he's still been productive.
His whole career, yeah. Right?
Whole career.
And he's been productive, so he's strong mentally. It's just that, you know, I can't say I feel sad for him because, shoot, but you know, I'd love to be somebody feeling sad for me making that kind of money. It's just, I don't know, it just kind of bothers me that, you know, the guy's in that situation and he's produced when he's been called upon, right? I mean, he's done his part. So, you know, I don't know. So, anyways, we're going to be wrapping this up right now. Let me wrap this up with all the craziness that's going on in there. Don't forget.
Look up Jimmy G's, one of his ex-girlfriends. I would be, you know, I'd be happy too if I was his girlfriend. But look her up. Not a past
happy one. If you were his girlfriend?
Oh, I would be, no, him, I would be happy. The one that
That's he had. His ex-girlfriend.
Look her up one day.
I'm sure his ex-girlfriend's happy.
No, this is the ex that he had when he first got to San Francisco.
The kid is
he has good hair like you.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All right. Don't forget the Gary Sinise Foundation, GarySinise.org. And I'm looking for, all righty. Freedom and security are precious gifts that we as Americans should never take for granted. We must do all we can to extend our hand in time of need. In times of need, for those who willingly sacrifice each day to provide that freedom and security, we can never do enough to show gratitude to our nation's defenders. We can always do a little bit more, Gary Sinise. So please, Gary Sinise Foundation, try to go do a little donation there, help out first responders, help out our nation's defenders, and you know, throw a blessing to those that are happening with the war in the Ukraine, which is still crazy, and which is affecting a lot of different things. So. Again, Joe, how can they find out about your show when they watch, how they tune in? Can you tell a little bit about that before we go?
Sportsplusshow.com and every Saturday, 11 o'clock Eastern at valleyfreeradio.org or 103.3 FM if you happen to be in Western Massachusetts. Or like I said, go to thesportsplusshow.com and check us out there.
Awesome. Mr. Byron Jones, as always, appreciate it. You had no hat, you got no shirt. You're not promoting anyone today. What are you like? You no frills, no.
I'm washing clothes. Yep, washing clothes.
You're washing all your hats, all your clothes. I mean, you got like 8 million hats for every.
Yeah, I didn't feel like putting.
I'm not a Giant fan. You got an LA Rams hat. You got a hat for every team.
Except for Bruce Arians that I chucked in the garbage, but yeah, that's another story.
And, you know, hey, and I just wanted to shout out to Coach K from Duke University for giving us this many years of watching some great coaching and great, great just professionalism from a great coach. I know this is his last year, so God bless him and his family and best of luck. Gentlemen, thank you as always.
Don't forget St. Peter's. St. Peter's.
Yeah.
St. Peter's. Tune in next week, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Gentlemen, you have a great night. Have a great week, and God bless. We'll talk soon.
See you then. See you.